Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Bienvenue! Welcome, fresh produce aficionados. You're tuned into the Global Fresh Series, where freshness knows no borders and where the world's best produce stories come alive. I'm your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from the legendary home of the Queen Mary in sunny Long Beach, California. Well, actually, it hasn't been that sunny this week. We've had a deluge of rain, but it is a place hospitality and fresh produce meet in one vibrant, delicious blend. Besides us getting tons of rain, how is everyone else doing today and this week? Are you feeling fresh, feeling inspired, eating your 7-a-day produce items? I've increased the 5 to 7 because you can never eat enough. Because let me tell you, the global produce world is buzzing right now. Especially in this episode, I will be bringing you a powerhouse lineup of stories that you might be hearing for the first time here. Every day, we read the same fresh produce info about countries and commodities in different trade publications. Here, I try to bring you fresh stories that I'm not seeing broadcast but are newsworthy to the global fresh produce community. Take today's stories, for example, diving into the hottest taste trend, taking over snack culture, the rise of sour and tangy grapes that are reshaping consumer cravings worldwide. And the groundbreaking story in this episode is exploring a truly historic, once-in-a-generation moment in UK agriculture as precision breeding takes center stage. Wait till you hear about that. That's a big one. Then we wrap it all in a headline story about the return of Knot Expo 2025. That's right. We're heading to Paris, France, where the International Organic Products Fair, Knot Expo 2025, is making its grand return after a 17-year absence, bringing with it nearly 900 exhibitors and a global showcase of organic innovation. What an exciting time to be in fresh produce. There's so much innovation, so much momentum, and so many stories to unpack. And for our listeners around the world, from Latin America to Spain to South Africa to Australia, I will give you a taste of what's coming up with a historical moment in the UK concerning genetic enhancing crops and making it fit for the realities of climate change and food security on a global scale. So stay with us. This is an episode you don't want to miss. So we'll get right into it with some interesting taste trends. Let's start with what's going on with grapes. You've heard of the trend sour grapes, and it's not a very positive connotation, but let me tell you, in the world of taste buds, there is a new twist on it now with a new grape in town. It's called Fruit Riot. It has a bold attitude and is taking grapes to a new level. It's heating up the snack category, and no, Fruit Riot is not a new proprietary grape. It's actually grapes that are bred to create this frozen snack. With more than 90% of Generation Z and millennials stating that they are actively seeking out new food and beverage flavors, it is a no wonder that the healthy snack trend is growing, driven by their adventurous, actively seeking out strong flavor profiles. The wilder, the better. And this new taste profile is driving everyone's taste buds to sour, S-O-U-R. I mean, that doesn't sound really appealing to me, but apparently this sour taste trend has taken TikTok just by on fire. Fresh produce aficionados, let me introduce you to a new snack that is on fire right now. This new grape, it's not a new proprietary grape. It's a snack. It's a fresh-picked, flash-frozen grape with a sour taste profile with a sassy name, Fruit Riot. They have taken this grape and they've put it with the lemon juice and a candy coating, packaged in an 8-ounce pouch with 45 calories. It is certainly a healthy alternative snack, but this could be the start of a new trend for the grape category. With a branded program profiling sour or tangy grapes with strong storytelling, given a new twist on the phrase, as I said, sour grapes. Frozen grapes could become a mainstream snack in retail, especially during summer. And in terms of a global flavor profile, sour isn't just a novelty. It's become of a global cuisine, becoming mainstream. And you know, when I think of this product, I also think how they've been pairing tagine, which also is giving a bend on the sour sweet taste with watermelon. What else is put? A lot of different fruit and vegetables, especially, I'd say more so fruit. Tagine has really become up and center. How could this benefit grape growers? Well, they will be picking slightly earlier to lend a tangier bite. Crunch and acidity will be preserved through the post-handling harvest and possibly more acreage for flavor-forward breeding programs. This could also signal a new growth area with other commodities in the fresh produce sector. They're also looking, the same company is looking to doing the same thing with cherries. In the meantime, look for Fruit Riot, and you can also check out Fruit Riot. Just type in Fruit Riot, R-O-I-T, into Google, and their website will come up with the packaging and so forth. But they are in some of your local supermarkets if you're in the U.S. Their website does say they will be expanding out to a global scene. And so in the meantime, I think I'm going to go over to one of these supermarkets. They're all listed on their website where their fruit is available and try this sour taste for myself. I'm really curious. It's amazing how everyone gets into the, think about it, with wine, it's the same thing. Some people like sweet wine. Some people like it much drier, or rich Cabernet. So same thing with our fresh fruits and vegetables. So let's talk a bit about, we talk about taste. We have a phenomenal sponsor who is the leader of taste when it comes to spuds. So let's take a look at a true leader in the world of spuds, introducing you to Peak of the Market, a proud sponsor of the 2025 Grey Cup coming to Winnipeg this November. As we celebrate the harvest season, their fresh Manitoba-grown vegetables from potatoes to pumpkins are perfect for holiday meals and game day gatherings. Here's to a great food, great community, and a Grey Cup excitement. Turning to Columbia Avocados, it's Columbia's main season, and Columbia has volume and quality to support promotional programs, fill your supply gaps. Columbia Avocados meet your growing category demand year-round. Columbia Avocados. And I know I'm talking a lot about our sponsors, but I want to recognize all of them because each of them has something very unique and wonderful to contribute. Take, for instance, the DRC. They work to help you with issues that can arise from global trade that requires experts to navigate smooth sailing for payment. So you can trade with confidence by checking out the DRC. They're known as the Fruit and Vegetable Dispute and Resolution Corporation, and they can educate you on navigating through that supply chain. And before I continue to recognize other stellar sponsors, let's hear from Jack Vandenberg.
120 years ago, in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues, with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
Thank you, Jack Vandenberg. If you have not checked out or tried their Sunray products, make sure you do, because they are groundbreaking as well. And to talk about more really, truly groundbreaking news, November 13th, which was just last week, marked a really historic day for the UK crop science and for agriculture worldwide. Why? This is the first time in over a generation that the UK has introduced legislation designed to enable, rather than restrict, the use of advanced genetic technologies in agriculture. As of the 13th of November, the UK officially brought into force the Genetic Technology Precision Breeding Act 2023 for plants in England. Many are calling this a landmark movement for British agriculture. After 5 years of development, spanning consultations, scientific reviews, and even a change in government, the Act is live, and it represents a historic shift toward a more modern, science-driven regulatory system. This is a genetic breakthrough because for decades, the UK operated under very restrictive rules inherited from the European Union. This new act removes those barriers and replaces them with a proportionate science-based framework that allows researchers, plant breeders, and farmers to use precision breeding, including gene editing, to improve crops. I will help you to break down what this means for growers, consumers, and the fresh produce supply chain. What are some of the early applications we might see hit the market? We already have several exciting innovations underway thanks to a far more targeted process that I will go into in a minute, but here are a few examples. High-yielding strawberries with improved shelf life, nutritionally enhanced tomatoes, disease-resistant sugar beets and potatoes, tomatoes designed for robotic harvesting, non-browning bananas, high-yielding wheat and baby potatoes, and high-lipid barley that could significantly reduce methane emissions in livestock. And that one's really, that last one, to reduce the methane emissions in livestock, is huge in terms of reducing the global footprint. But better yet, what I just talked about, they aren't hypothetical. There are actually innovations that are already in development. And each one of those that I just mentioned, they're huge. I mean, who wouldn't want any of these, you know, bananas that don't brown and, you know, higher vitamin nutritional value with some of these commodities? But all of this is due to something deeper than precision breeding that introduces foreign DNA. We're talking about something far more targeted that allows scientists to make small, highly accurate changes within a plant's own DNA. Now, interestingly enough, these changes could have happened naturally or through conventional breeding. But because of this precision accurate changes, they can now achieve them faster and more precisely. So in my opinion, the way I see this, it's something that would have happened under a natural environment. But this program allows them just to kind of turn up the dial and speed it up a bit quicker. It makes it dramatically easier to develop crops that can handle climate stress, resist disease, or deliver better nutrition. Don't you think this is huge, especially for fresh produce companies dealing with shrinking shelf life, disease pressure, labor shortages, climate volatility? The list goes on. I mean, just think about how the fields, the supply chain in fresh produce could look like even just 5-10 years out. Why is this act so important, and how does it make it historical? Because it essentially gives breeders and growers a green light to move faster without the previous regulatory environment that slowed innovation. Now, with a more flexible science-driven system, they can accelerate development of improved crop varieties that reduces food waste, requires fewer inputs, delivers better nutrition, improves resilience, and strengthens the food security system. It really is a win for farmers, consumers, and the environment. This act comes into force despite a change of government from conservative to labor in 2024, and the new leadership still maintained its support for precision breeding. That suggests broad political alignment across parties. There is strong recognition that science-based solutions is needed to address global challenges such as climate resilience and food security. In fact, a global IPSOS survey released earlier this year found that 56% of consumers support the use of this new genomic technique in agriculture, especially when it's used to develop these climate resilient crops. Only 12% were opposed. So it shows that public opinion is shifting. And that matters not just for the UK, but for the global fresh produce industry. Higher yield crops with longer shelf life, better disease resistance, and lower environmental impact, these benefits ripple across the supply chains, retail, and consumer health. But this could also have broad implications with the UK potentially becoming a leader in precision breeding. With this act in place, the UK has an opportunity to take a world-leading role in sustainability, science-driven crop development. They have world-class scientists, innovative growers, and progressive retailers. With a supportive regulatory system, the UK can now move forward quickly than any other region. So I'm saying this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and it really is an exciting time, an exciting chapter for agriculture, and I'm sure that we will be revisiting this topic as new precision breeding varieties come to market. Wow, this was really, to me, a historical movement within the agriculture, the global agriculture landscape. Now, talking about plant breeding, what this precision breeding does to crops, ZAG Technical Services does with the ag community, keeping their IT systems safe and secure. They're really worth checking out, as you will hear in this upcoming commercial.
ZAG Technical Services, we do many things. Managed services for IT needs, including consulting. Another area of expertise for us is cybersecurity, making sure that there's awareness and risk prevention. And then the final piece is the data and software services, where whether it's software automation, data management, even AI, we have things that we can do to help your business. Those are core components that your company relies on. So we have a rich history of being able to manage these IT services so that you don't have to worry about them. You trust us so that we keep your operations going and your business going ultimately. When we talk about what AI can do for you and the time savings, even though you don't think you have something that you can just put AI in, you probably do if you have a business case that could be benefited from automation or efficiencies that are brought in. We can trust AI to do those things. And the beauty of that is you can free up time for your employees to do more meaningful work. So even if you think you may not benefit, I think it's worth a conversation because you will be surprised. We'll walk you through every step of the way and we're here to help.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. We are happy to have ZAG Technical Services as one of our very valuable sponsors. If you are just joining us, welcome. And a big thank you to all of our incredible sponsors. They all, as I said, each of them have something very unique and valuable to offer to the fresh produce community. So leaving the frozen grapes with a sour taste and the historical ag moment in the UK, let's turn our attention to Paris, where in less than 3 weeks, one of the most important organic trade shows on the global calendar makes its highly anticipated return after 17 years, Nat Expo 2025. And according to organizers, the signals are green across the board with energy and real buzz. And why not? With 25% of exhibitors arriving from abroad, representing 23 countries, and visitors expected from 68 nations, Nat Expo continues to position itself as an export accelerator for organic brands, as a truly international fresh produce organic event. Listen to some of these key events: international pavilions, targeted campaigns to fuel export opportunities, business meetings with global buyers from South Korea, Denmark, UAE, the US, Portugal, Spain, Romania, and Sweden, dedicated support teams helping exhibitors engage international markets. For any organic producer looking to grow beyond their borders, this is the platform. This is a powerful platform. And let's look into why all the really interesting things are going to have happen at, they're going to dig into at NAD Expo 2025, because it's arriving at a pivotal moment when the organic market is regaining momentum, fresh produce is reclaiming the spotlight, and international partnerships are opening doors for the next wave of organic innovation. For the global fresh produce sector, this show isn't just an event. It's a temperature check on where consumer values, retail expectations, as a sustainable agriculture are heading in 2025 and beyond. After 17 years, there's a lot to catch up on. A lot has happened in that this past 17 years, including the shutdown with COVID. So here are a few upcoming shows. Showcasing France, because despite political tension, social pressure, inflation, supply fragility, the organic market has rebounded in France, with the organic sector finally showing signs of renewed momentum. I talked about this in a prior episode while covering the annual European supermarket report from ESM. More French households are buying organic again. Frequency is rising, and importantly, the growth isn't being driven by price inflation, but by true consumer enthusiasm. There's a gentleman named Frederick Faré, vice president of the BioCoop Cooperative, put it, despite a highly unfavorable context, the market remains dynamic, the enthusiasm is real. And we have seen that in a number of reports when it breaks it down by what consumers are still spending money on despite inflation or price consciousness, and this is in the U.S. and in Europe, they are still willing to put the money out for good quality organic products. But in France, there's a challenge because the upstream side of the sector, growers converting to organic production, it is still under pressure with a negative balance and new AB certified farms. This raises questions about how France will maintain its model of predominantly domestic sourcing. The next big part is the fruit and vegetables taking center stage at this expo, because this year organizers are shining a bright spotlight on fruits and vegetables, recognizing the role this category played in the early organic boom. They're launching a fruit and vegetable hub along with an entire theme day on November 30th dedicated to economic insights, climate adoption, traceability, and the French origin debate, retail merchandising, consumer expectations, anti-waste strategy. I mean, this is a robust program that attendees are really going to enjoy, because it also includes hands-on workshops for retail teams, merchandising playbooks, sales-boosting toolkits, and even sessions on highlighting forgotten varieties and reducing shrink. It's going to be like a masterclass for fresh produce professionals and those everyday practical lovers that make organics work at store level. And there's also, I've never known, it's called a Chin Chin Juice and Smoothie Bar that's going to return, a fun moment that shows how produce can be elevated through simple, flavorful experiences. Food service is going to be also front and center because it's becoming one of the most important growth engines for organics. There's going to be a strategic focus on design to bridge the gap between organic producers and the culinary world, from school cafeterias to fine dining. On December 2nd, that day of the show, it's going to be a full day dedicated to the food service sector with discussions on structuring local supply chains, increasing organic in school and institutional meals, the 2035 outlook for organic purchases, chef producer speed meetings, discovery tours, and tastings. They want to put a major focus on expanding the role of organic foods in restaurants, canteens, and professional kitchens. And lastly, Morocco is going to be highlighted at this show because Morocco is really coming on strong and has exciting international opportunities. It's the featured country of this year at the show, with 20 companies showcased with their depth and diversity of Morocco's organic sector, from fresh produce to processed goods, supported by Maroc Bio and AMDI. A dedicated conference on December 1st will explore the country's strengths, challenges, and ambitions for the future of our Moroccan organics. It's going to be led by Zineb Laghazoui. I like that name, Laghazoui. It's a significant moment for a country rapidly emerging as a key player in global organic agriculture. So this expo is going to have something for everyone. Among the 200 conferences, the 20th anniversary of Net Expo trophies with a brand new vegan category. They're going to also have a public choice people's favorite award. There's going to be an expanded label lab for startups and eco entrepreneur pitch sessions for investors, and that festive Not Expo Chin Chin evening on December 1st. And of course, complimentary coffee for exhibitors every morning, which is always so important to us. I know at the IFPA show and almost most of the shows I've gone to in the morning, anything serving coffee, any of those vendors, the lines are long. Everyone needs their coffee to get the day started. One more expansion, too, is they're going to also be putting the show, Not Expo, they're going to be expanding its footprint beyond France in partnership with Italy's Tutto Food, one of Italy's largest food B2B events. They're going to be launching this, a new pavilion dedicated entirely to organic innovation. With nearly 100,000 visitors annually at Tutto Food and thousands of international buyers, this collaboration positions Not Expo as a major force in Europe's organic ecosystem. And I believe that this is going to extend well beyond even the European borders because, again, as I said, all the reports that I've ever seen about organic, it's truly, despite the cost, it's still a growing category. So Not Expo arrives at a pivotal moment. This market, it's gaining momentum. It sounds like a great show. I would like to go, but it's not going to be possible with so close this year. So I'm going to put on my calendar for next year and possibly this show in Italy where they're going to be collaborating. So we have so much today to take a look at, from the sour taste of this new grape trend to the egg moment in the UK, and now Nat Expo coming back to Paris, France for after 17 years, featuring, you know, mainly putting the focus on organics. How much more exciting of a sector can we be working in? This is really fantastic news. So stay tuned until next week's episode, when I always like to look for a few different things, interesting things to blend into the fresh produce global industry. And until then, as we say here at the Produce Industry Network, we will see you in the fields or somewhere on the horizon or at an incredible show like Not Expo 2025 in the aisles there of Paris, France.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Gallio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.